Welcome to Career Tools. This is Sarah.
And I'm Mark.
Today's podcast, How to Handle the Interview Weakness Question, Part 1 of 1.
This cast answers these questions. How do I answer the what is your weakness interview question? Can a weakness be a strength? And what is the right answer to tell me about a failure?
If you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening. Well, congratulations on your promotion. Now what? How do you lead effectively? The Manager Tools license is designed to help you navigate new responsibilities with ease. Gain access to proven strategies, tools, and expert guidance that will help you manage your team, deliver results, and continue your professional growth. With our comprehensive resources, you'll be prepared for the challenges that lie ahead. Invest in your success at manager-tools.com/memberships. And click on the Manager Tools license today. All right. So, Mark, this is one of those re-records from the core of, if you will, our career tools guidance. This one in particular was put out, I want to say, in 2009. And it was actually the impetus for the original cast was a Wall Street Journal article that made a recommendation to people about the best way to handle or to address the interview question about weaknesses was to deflect.
Yeah, because journalists are super smart business people who truly understand about interviewing and so on. And they all have a great deal of HR experience and have interviewed thousands of people and knows what works.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and sadly, I think for humanity, the interviewing guidance about how to handle this answer to this question hasn't gotten a whole lot better.
No,
I mean,
zero.
I think that it's just exactly the same amount of bad suggestions about interviewing. So today we're going to help our audience answer it well.
Yeah. I'll tell you another thing about interviewing answers. Interviewing is a black box. People don't understand it. And for the last 30 years, since I've been involved in helping people interview, whether as a recruiter or as some referring a friend or teaching companies how to interview or teaching MBA students how to interview and so on, the single biggest change, I'm not saying an improvement, is people are trying to get rid of interviewing.
Yeah.
Well, interviewing is like the second worst form of evaluation and all the others are tied for last. And it's because people don't understand it. People don't have enough data individually. They don't like how they go in one side, come out the other of the black box of interviewing and don't know whether they did well or not. So the guidance, except for ours, won't improve appreciably in the next 10 or 20 years either.
No. And I mean, I think it's funny that people think erroneously, obviously, that they as candidates are smart enough to fool their interviewer. But if they, if the candidate was the one interviewing, oh, they would be smart enough to see right through that. I mean, as a candidate, I'm smart enough to trick them, but I would never be fooled in the exact same way.
Yeah. Well, look, one of our core tenets in our interviewing guidance is, folks, answer the question. No matter what you want to tell the interviewer, okay, answer their questions first. The classic example I have is in the United States, people get asked, fresh college graduates get asked, what's your GPA? What was your grade point average? You don't hire for that metric alone, but it's a reasonable metric that's applied across all students, even though there are some schools who vastly inflate, Harvard is a good example, GPAs. It's silly, but it's true. And you get asked, what year's your GPA? And the answer is, well, starts with well. Okay, folks, let me just tell you something. You want to tick a recruiter off? Listen to their question that requires a numerical answer and say anything other than a number first. So if you were to say, well, I was working two jobs and I was involved in my sorority and so on. And so that's why at times I took my eye off the ball. And so I got a 2.8. That's a wrong answer. A 2.8 might be technically correct, but it's a wrong answer because you have told them, I don't want you to know what you want to know until I get to tell you what I want you to know. And let's be clear, folks, the interviewer is in charge, which leads to our next point, which is interviewing is not a two-way street. If you're in an hour-long interview and you think you get a chance to interview the interviewer, you're crazy, okay? You don't. We barely have enough time in an hour to make a decision, yes or no. And if you ask us a bunch of questions, probably aren't going to be very good in my experience. No offense, every once in a while I I get great questions, but if your questions aren't any good and I don't have enough information to say yes or no to you, I have to say no. I'm obligated to say no. So this two-way street stuff is also really, really dumb. And probably 80% of the answers I've gotten to tell me about a weakness are selfish and weak. And we're going to cover that here, obviously.
Yes, exactly. So I'm going to start going through our outline, which contains two major points with minor bullets within. So the first major point is our preparatory thoughts, which includes weaknesses are not fatal flaws. You do have weaknesses. Don't choose a weakness. That is a core success in the job. And you should know your answer in advance. And then our second major bullet is a three-part answer. It's briefly qualify your answer, state your weakness, and talk about what you're doing to improve in this area.
Exactly. Okay. So let's start with preparatory thoughts. I think you listed four thoughts before we get into the weakness answer. Okay. The first one is weaknesses are not fatal flaws, folks. You don't have to, when you get asked about a weakness, you don't have to fear that you're talking about some core fatal flaw of yours.
Deal breaker.
Yeah. The reason so many people mess this question up is because of fear. They're afraid of being thought human when they thought that interviewing was all about fakeness and being perfect, I guess. I don't know. And so people don't want to admit that they have any weaknesses at all. But look, part of that comes from a misunderstanding about what weaknesses actually are. So here's a way to think about weaknesses that I came up with 35 years ago, and it should reassure you that it's okay to talk about your weaknesses. We're not suggesting when we ask about a weakness, that what you're going to tell us is a dark or dirty secret or is a character flaw or a fatal flaw. When we ask you about your weaknesses, we're asking you to compare all of your skills to all of your other skills and to be clear about which of those skills are not as strong as some of your other skills. So it's entirely possible if you're an exceptionally high performer, some of your weaknesses, the level of your performance in that category, that skill, that ability, whatever, might actually be better than someone who is overall not as impressive as you. So weakness simply means something that is below average for you. That's all. And we all know that everybody has weaknesses and strengths, but they're relative. And so you shouldn't feel bad. The person who can't come up with one is someone who is not self-aware. And if you're not self-aware, you will not be able to improve. And by the way, non-self-aware people do not do well taking feedback, particularly negative feedback. Because if they're not self-aware and they make a mistake, they think, well, that wasn't really a mistake. Well, actually it was, and your boss gets to define that anyway.
That's exactly it, folks. If you're an above average performer, and if you're a manager, and I would suggest if you're listening to this cast, you are by definition. A skill that you consider a weakness is, or might very well, when performed at that level, be a strength for someone else.
Yes.
Not as impressive as you. A weakness is a skill that you're not as good at as some of the other things.
Your strengths.
Is it strengths? Exactly.
All of your company's CEOs' weaknesses are strengths to just about everybody else, if that helps you. In terms of the hierarchy, as you go further, your strengths get better, your weaknesses get less. But the CEO's weaknesses relative to a frontline person would be strengths.
Exactly. If we're so terrified of this question, we're never going to ace this answer. So all that to say, folks, you do have weaknesses, and the interviewer knows you have weaknesses.
Yes, please.
I mean, they have them too. We're all humans. It's not like they thought you were this perfect robot when you came into the room, and this is going to be a shock. They know you're a human. And this knowledge that the interviewer has over the fact that you do have weaknesses is the part that shoots down the deflect theory of answering this question. You know you have weaknesses. The interviewer knows you have weaknesses. And the interviewer, we have weaknesses and we think we're fine. We'll think you're fine if you share your weaknesses with us. But if you do not answer this question, you actually get 2 strikes against you. Even a bad answer, but a direct answer, only gets you one strike. Exactly. 2 strikes in this case are you don't have the confidence to talk about your flaws, and you must have a lot, or they're really, really big ones because you're unwilling to discuss them, which is just the kiss of death. I mean, don't try and hide something that we know exists, please.
In fact, you'd probably get a bit of a smile from a recruiter or an interviewer if they said, hey, can you tell me about a weakness? And you say, well, I don't even know where to start. I mean, I got plenty, just as much as the next guy. I hope they're not misaligned with the job, obviously. But no, a weakness is X, right? You can be self-deprecating in an interview. Yeah. Okay, next on our pre-guidance, don't choose a weakness that is core to the success required in the job. Again, you have more than one weaknesses. Hopefully that should be obvious. Let's say every person in the world had 100 skills. For you, 50 of those skills are weaknesses and 50 of those skills are strengths. That's how it works. We're not asking you to say, what is a deep, dark secret that is worse than everyone you've ever met that's disqualifying? That's not what this question is about. This question, again, is more about self-awareness and confidence than it is about the particular weakness, except in this case about if you mistakenly choose a weakness that is core to the success of the job. So if you've got half strengths and half weaknesses, this is a relative thing, you get to choose, right? You get to choose what you're talking about. Just don't choose a skill that is core to the requirements of the job as a weakness. A great example, if you're interviewing for sales, you can't choose persuasive ability.
Not and get the job, you can.
I know. When I tell people this, and I get asked about interviewing all the time, when I tell people this, Sarah, it's funny. They're like, well, what if it is? And I say to them, the point is, you're not going to pick that one. Remember, you've got 100 skills, 50 are strengths, 50 are weaknesses. You may describe persuasion as a weakness, but that's not the one you choose. You choose one of the other 49, okay? Don't choose analytical ability as a weakness if you're interviewing to be a financial analyst. Again, even if those areas are weaknesses, just please choose something else. And we all have plenty. And by the way, if you don't think you have plenty of weaknesses, you're going to get chewed up and spit out by the vast majority of professional interviewers and recruiters and managers and so on. And you need to go and drink some humility tea is probably what you need to do.
That's the thing. Again, like they're not asking for your deepest, darkest secret, your weakest weakness that you've ever had. That's not what this question is about.
Yep.
All right. Now, since we have weaknesses, we know we have weaknesses. They know you have weaknesses. What all of this means is you should know your answer in advance. You know you. You know your weaknesses. You know the job that you're interviewing for. And if you want to be hired anyway, you have to be prepared for this interview question in advance. So yep. Pick a weakness, the weakness you're going to talk about based upon your weaknesses and the requirements of this job, well before you ever walk in the room. Assume that this might be a question. It's asked quite often in interviews.
Yes.
Assume it might be a question that you'll be asked and prepare for it. Pick your weakness, plan your answer, rehearse your answer a few times, know you're going to be asked in advance and provide an answer.
Another related question that I get when people ask me about interviewing to this one is, well, should I choose the same weakness in all of the interviews? Shouldn't I be fresh with each of the people? Well, that's very similar to the question we get about, well, if I have 4 interviewers on a given day, can I use the same 2 examples of accomplishments when I interview with those 3 people? And the answer is yes. If you believe those 2 accomplishments best highlight your skills and your alignment with the needs for this job, absolutely. It's fine. Now, you'll use different words each time because you're not giving a speech. But the same thing is true for weakness. It's a weakness. You've done some research. You know what your strengths are, your weaknesses are. You know what weaknesses aren't core to the job. And so you'll mention the weakness maybe 3 or 4 or 5 times.
Absolutely.
And by the way, when they all get together and talk about it, hopefully they use the interview results capture meeting guidance that we think is one of our 10 biggest contributions to management thinking. They'll go, oh, yeah, I heard the weakness question. Yeah, that was a good one. And everybody's like, oh, yeah, yeah, that was good. He was really candid about it. And it's not a problem for us, so we're good.
Want to grow faster in your career next year? Welcome to the rest of us. It all starts with relationships. The Manager Tools Relationship Series teaches you how to build trust, strengthen your network, and open doors for new opportunities. Start developing the skills that will drive success. Visit us at manager-tools.com/memberships and become a Career Tools licensee today.
Now let's get to the answer part. Okay, so the first part we want to tell you, the introduction to the answer, is it has three parts, okay? Before we detail each part of the answer, we're first going to give you an example to keep in your mind as we take you through the rationale for the effective answer to the weakness question. Using our recommendation, it would sound like this. Every once in a while, that's your qualifying your answer. Every once in a while, I procrastinate on larger projects. That's your weakness. And then you say, I know what I'm supposed to do, but I focus on shorter term objectives on other projects. That's, again, a continuation of the weakness. And then what I'm doing to address it, and that's the third part, are you trying to improve? What I'm doing to address it is briefing others about my deadlines, posting the deadlines so that others can help keep me on track. I'm also very upfront about encouraging feedback from others when they worry I might be late. I also try to build some buffer into my own deadlines. So that's all three parts: qualification, state your weakness, and talk about what you're doing.
Okay, so let's start with the first piece then, which is the brief qualification of the answer. This is just really a way to clearly signify that this is a weakness and not a fatal flaw. So in the example that Mark just gave, the qualifier was every once in a while. Note, he didn't come hot out of the gate with just, I procrastinate. He didn't start there.
If you say I procrastinate, it sounds like, wow, this guy knows himself. He's got a fundamental problem.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's just, you're coming in a little too hot. It's a little strong. And it does have that strongness for the recruiter, because you're starting right away with the weakness. Now, what you want to say is, instead, this is a weakness for me, but not a deal breaker. Hence the every once in a while.
Yeah.
Now, for those of you that might say, going back to what we were just talking about earlier, but you said that this answer, or to answer the question directly and immediately instead of beating around the bush, yes, you're right. But there's nothing wrong with a very brief introductory clause or phrase, every once in a while, which is five words max.
Four words.
Exactly. So every once in a while, there's nothing wrong with a small clause, a small phrase. It's not that we're talking about something else or introducing another data or other ideas or giving a list of reasons in advance. We're giving a small qualifier. It's just starting with an introductory phrase at the beginning of our sentence.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you the great example of not wanting to talk about it or putting too much in front of it. This is actually the obverse of that, but it's still nonetheless a great story. I interviewed a young person, this is 35 years ago. I said, hey, share with me a weakness. And this person said, actually, the way I think about the world and my construct, I don't think about weaknesses. That's not the way I think. And I looked at him and said, oh, okay, that's very insightful. Thank you. Okay, so we went on with the interview because I wasn't going to ask this guy again about a weakness when his fundamental worldview doesn't include them. And at the end of the interview, I the way my interviews were at that time, I had to tell them yes or no. And I said, I'm going to say no. I think you have a lot to offer. I mentioned a couple of things that I didn't like about his answer. And then I said, and I will tell you, your weakness answer will not get you very far. I mean, I hope you're successful in your job search. I really, really do. I wish you well, but that answer's not effective. And he said, well, but wait, you said, oh, it was an interesting insight. I said, yeah, but you didn't answer my question. For the rest of your career, your strengths and weaknesses are going to be discussed by every manager and executive in the organization. And as you get hired, they're going to really pick at them and tear them apart and see if you're ready for the next bit of responsibility. And if you're not willing to even engage on it because your worldview doesn't include the concept of weaknesses, which, by the way, most of us, you can blame me if you want as an example of the people who are going to be evaluating you. Most of us think if you say that, that you're literally withholding what your weaknesses are and you're deflecting again. And frankly, I don't believe that there's someone who, when football games and baseball games and basketball games and people talk all the time about the strengths and weaknesses of various players, he can't hit the curveball or whatever, that you have a worldview which says that you don't think that way. And I said, that's fine. And I do. I wish you well. But it's not fine for me because the people that I recruit for, the Fortune 1000, they expect you to have a similar worldview regarding professional development, performance, and so on. I also think the person who doesn't believe in strengths and weaknesses would also have a problem with positive and negative feedback, right? It simply wouldn't be a net for them to catch it.
I was going to say, I feel like it's a vocabulary debate now. I'm sure had you asked him, what are you less good at? He would have had an answer to that. He's not like, I don't believe in being less good at things. I'm sure that he does believe in being less good at things. Dude, now you're just, all you want to do is argue about a word, the word choice here. Like, that's not the smart move.
Yeah. What's more, it goes back to the whole thing of, do I have enough information at the end of my 30 or 45 minute interview to say yes? And if I have to ask a simple question a second time, a different way to satisfy his vocabulary concern, I'm sorry. I'm not going to learn enough positives about him to decide that he's going to be.
A lot of people to consider for every job. So I don't have time to have this argument in this interview.
Exactly. All right. The second part of the answer is to, in fact, state your weakness. Again, as Sarah said, after a brief introductory clause or phrase. In our example, the weakness was, I procrastinate on longer projects. I know what I'm supposed to do, but I focus on shorter-term objectives on other projects. Now, we're not going to tell you what you should or shouldn't use. Now, if you're a licensee and you want to write in to us and say, I'm preparing for this job and here's my list of strengths and weaknesses, can you make a recommendation? We'll be happy to do that, okay? But your weaknesses are person dependent, but as we made the point earlier about being careful, it's also interview dependent. Right? Now, if you're only interviewing for one job at one company, then as I mentioned before, you can use the same weakness over and over and over again in those interviews. But if you're interviewing for five different people for five different jobs in one day, you might have five different weaknesses to avoid having one of those weaknesses be aligned with the core strengths of the job. Okay. But let's be clear. The weakness, again, not a fatal flaw. You wouldn't want to choose ethics or racism or violent tendencies, or misanthropy, or misogyny, or political beliefs. The question is essentially about professional skills.
It's about professional skills, and I really hope that those are not your weaknesses.
By the way, I should recommend for those of you, if you're a Career Tools licensee, Sarah, do our Career Tools licensees get access to our interviewing series?
Absolutely.
They do. So if you're listening to this right now and you're not a licensee, I really encourage you to do so. Now, if you've listened for a while, you know we're not constantly trying to sell you things. We're not. We provide our knowledge for free for people who can't afford it. But if you can afford it, by the way, that would help us continue our mission of making every manager effective and every professional productive. Believe me, if we were making hundreds of millions of dollars, we would probably have more people working here. I think we have 10 people working at Manager Tools about right now. And so we would love your donation, if you will, for Career Tools, but that donation would get you the interviewing series. And one of the topics in the interviewing series, one of the casts in the interviewing series is called the general store analogy. And it's a way of preparing for your interviews. And the great thing about the general store, which again is in the interviewing series, again, which you have to be a Career Tools licensee to get, is it will help you think in a very clear way. I know I invented it in 1989, I think, so 35 more years ago, about how to think about your strengths and weaknesses relative to your past accomplishments. And if you had done the general store analogy, you would certainly know what your strengths are, and you'd probably then be able to infer what your weaknesses are. But again, if you're a licensee and you want to write Sarah or me or Amanda and say, hey, can I have some help? This is my list. Here's what I'm thinking about. Here's the job. What do you guys think? We'll be happy to help.
Absolutely. Okay, so we covered the brief qualification. We covered the statement of your weakness. And now the third part of the answer to this question is talking about what you're doing to improve in this area. So in our example, Mark said, what I'm doing to address it is briefing others about my deadlines and posting them so that others can keep me on track. I'm also very upfront about encouraging feedback from others when they worry I might be late. I also try and build some buffer into my own deadlines. What you want to do, or what we want you to do here, is mention 2, 3, maybe 4 things that you're actively doing to address the weakness, which you stated in the answer to your question. The idea is that it may still be a weakness, again, relative to your strengths now, a year from now even, but your overall performance will have improved. And this skill, because of all the things that you're doing to overcome it, won't cause you to drop balls. You're aware of it. You're doing things to address it. Those things should be the insurance policy against the weakness becoming an issue for your employer in this case.
Yeah. And if you'll notice, we have one weakness, but as Sarah pointed out, there are 4 or 5 things you're doing around it, right? And so this answer comes across as self-aware, capable of self-deprecation. Hey, I know what my weaknesses are. I'm not arrogant enough to believe that there are no such thing as weaknesses or that I don't have any of them.
I don't have any.
But it says you're aware that one of the most important professional skills is to work on improving yourself. And when you know what your weaknesses are, you should be taking multiple steps to try to improve them. As the Army Ranger saying goes, good, better, best, never let me rest until my good is better and my better best. We say it all the time in guidance and at clients and at public conferences, effective communicator, effective manager, effective senior manager, effective executive. You don't have to be perfect tomorrow, folks, but you do have to set a mindset of I'm going to be 1% better tomorrow than I am today. I'm just going to be slightly better. Over time, think about the compounding value of money, right? Compound interest. Over time, 1% better every day is a lot. Organizations don't ask you to change yourself. They don't. If they hired you, they think you're good enough. Okay. So now commit yourself to being better. And if you want some book recommendations, we would encourage you to read Ego is the Enemy and The Obstacle is the Way, 2 books about stoicism by Ryan Holiday. And of course, our books too, Effective Manager, Effective Senior, or Effective and Effective Hiring Manager as well.
Yep.
Good. Okay. Do you want me to summarize?
Yeah, do it.
Okay. So look, folks, when you're asked, tell me about a weakness, a lot of candidates freeze, or they try to outsmart the question or deflect. That's a great word that Sarah's been using. It's shockingly bad advice about how to answer one of the most common interviewing questions there are. Dodging the answer, dodging the question never works. Hiding the truth is dishonest. And so we've given you a 3-part template, brief, clarifying comment, state your weakness clearly, and then tell us what you're doing about it. It's an honest professional response that will actually strengthen your candidacy, even though you do have flaws, just like the rest of us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Perfect. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Sarah.
All right, let me wrap it up. Thank you so much for joining us today, folks. We hope that this helped you. Now, help us help others and tell your friends. And of course, follow, rate, and review our podcast. And remember, 5 stars only, please.